the fear from the media, from the newspapers or TV or whatever it is, the headline numbers, they're not accurate. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us today for today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. I'm Mark Tepper, joined by Derek Gabrielson.
Hey, Mark, how are you today? I'm
doing great. A lot better than over the course of the last few weeks. We've had some good news from my perspective that I want to talk about today with regards to the entire COVID-19 scenario. Mm-hmm. I don't think this good news is getting enough respect and love in the press, in the media. And I think it's pretty important stuff. And what I'm referring to, D, is I'm referring to the COVID-19 antibody tests.
Right.
You know, basically what these tests do is they're not used to diagnose whether or not you have COVID-19 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What they're used for is to identify if you have the antibodies, right, in your system, which would mean that at some point you were infected with the virus.
Right.
Right. I mean, the way I feel about this entire situation is that we got to where we are today because of fear, because of panic.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, a lot of people were terrified of the havoc that this virus was having on their health. And in response to that, we decided to shut down the economy.
Right.
I mean, one step at a time. It's like, hey, social distance. Then it's, forget that, just completely shut down the economy. But we're only going to do this state. So if you're in another state, you're still going to pass it back and forth, right? So, I mean, it's been a process of us shutting the economy down because we're all afraid of this virus.
Right.
You know, and when you look at the headline numbers, I understand why there's lots of fear.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. And we'll talk about those in just a few minutes. But just to kind of jump ahead, as of right now, the global mortality rate that's published is 7%.
Right.
That's going to scare the crap out of anybody. I mean, right?
Especially when the press talks about it nonstop.
Exactly. And look, whether it's 7% or 20% or 0.5%, there's no doubt that the virus, for those that are the most severely affected, it's a very, very nasty virus.
No question about it.
Right. But, you know, I did a TV appearance. I don't know if it was this week or last week, because with this whole stay-at-home order, I can't even tell you what day of the week it is right now. Sometime over the last 2 weeks, I did a TV appearance. And we were talking about what we need to do to reopen the economy.
Right.
Right. You've heard Trump say, we can't allow the cure to be worse than the problem. Right?
Right.
And obviously what he means by that is there's a cost either way. And, you know, there's this simple term in economics, which is opportunity cost. And that means that if you make a decision to do one thing, there's a cost associated with you making the decision not to do the other thing.
Right.
Right. And we basically had two options here. Option A, we could save lives. We could shut down the economy. Okay. And for the most part, would you agree that a lot of people, maybe not us and maybe not people like us with similar political beliefs, but there's a lot of people out there that they don't see all of the extended and unintended consequences. All they see is shut the economy down, save lives. That's all they see.
Right.
Right. There's one cause, one effect, and it's over and done with.
Totally right. And I think you get that perspective when you're allowed to do that, right? when all you see is what's around you, hey, you know, I'm staying inside, I'm saving lives, but I still have a paycheck coming in. I don't have to drive to the food bank for the first time to try to get food for my family. It's a kind of lack of perspective. And I think that's what we're trying to paint here, is not everyone has the same perspective on how this pandemic is affecting them.
Right. What is the cost of that decision? From my perspective, the cost of us making that decision to save lives and shut down the economy is we are now in a steep, severe recession. If we don't fix things promptly, it could spiral into a depression.
Oh, yes.
Right? That's been the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people will look at that and they will say, well, that's just money. That's right. Just a financial cost. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking human lives. Okay. I can appreciate that, but that's not true at all. There is a financial cost associated with that decision, but there's also a health cost as well. And we've talked about this on a past podcast where you are going to see when the unemployment rate is 20% and people can't find work, and maybe we have double digit unemployment for a long period of time, mental health is going to deteriorate.
Absolutely.
Right?
You're seeing that in a big way already.
Yes. I read an article, or maybe it was maybe I just saw a guy do a TV appearance. He was on Inc. magazine several years ago, entrepreneur who cut his pay down to 75 grand a year so he could pay all his people 75 grand a year, which is a great thing for him to do. So he kind of, you know, became famous by doing that. But he made a comment, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but I want to say, like, while people are unemployed, suicide rates double or something. Maybe it increases by 50%. There was a substantial increase, right? But without a doubt, there is not just a financial cost, but also a health cost associated with that decision.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, we could have gone with option B. We could have kept the economy open and more people would have died, right?
Absolutely.
So obviously, the benefit there is we don't go into a recession or a depression, but you lose people, you lose lives, right?
And quite possibly a lot more on the outset.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So when we look at that, obviously, you know, we already made our decision, right? But I think we all agree that we need to start opening businesses back up.
Yeah, and we need a plan.
We need a plan. We need to do it safely and responsibly. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and say that, you know, everyone needs to get back to doing exactly what they were doing 3 months ago tomorrow. That's not going to happen. You're going to see social distancing continue inside work office environments. You're going to see people show up to work wearing their cloth masks. So, I mean, things are going to be different. We need to be safe. We need to be responsible. But we need to get the economy reopened.
Right.
And my concern has been, even when we reopen the economy, and this was our last podcast, the psychological damage that will be caused by the economy being closed, by the fear that people are feeling in response to the virus, what does that look like? Well, maybe business owners don't want to rehire the people that they let go because they're afraid this might happen again, right? Yep. Maybe consumers don't want to go to the movie theater, to a ball game, to the airport because they're afraid. So in order for us to get past that fear, I've been trying to get this into my media appearances for the last couple of weeks. I've been sending them over talking points on this, but I never get the opportunity to. So I'm glad we're finally talking about it now. I think these COVID-19 antibody tests are really the solution. If we come to realize that a significant percentage of the population has already been infected, many of whom were asymptomatic or had very mild symptoms, they recovered, then we realize the mortality rate is much lower than we actually think.
Right.
And then maybe people are willing to go out and try to resume their normal lives faster than they would have had we not had these studies.
Exactly. Right? Yep.
So you know, I'm a big proponent of getting these out as quickly as possible. But let's back up a second, Dee. Let's go through some of these stats with regards to what is actually being published right now with regards to COVID-19 infections, confirmed cases, deaths, stuff like that.
I think really just about everyone accepts the fact that there are almost certainly way more cases than are being published right now, especially in the US, because everyone realizes that only the sickest people are actually going to get a test right now.
Well, if we were sick, right, and we were to call the Cleveland Clinic, you do an e-visit or call your primary care physician, do you think they're going to tell us to go get tested?
No, zero chance.
They're going to tell us to just stay home for 14 days.
Exactly.
Dude, suck it up. Stay home. So we don't count.
Right.
We don't count as a confirmed case.
Right. And I know several people that has happened to.
Yeah. So just to sidetrack real quick, I heard that the virus may have been here as early as October of last year.
Yep,
it keeps going backwards. There's now been confirmed cases in January. A lot of people are speculating October of last year. So I started thinking back. I'm thinking, I've probably had this already, right? So I go back to October. It was the end of October. I was at an entrepreneurs organization meeting till about 8 o'clock at night. I was flying to New York the next morning to do some TV out in New York. And throughout my entire entrepreneurs organization meeting, which is 4 hours long, I was crashing. Mm-hmm. I felt terrible. Never been so tired. I had a dry cough. I felt like I was going to fall asleep at the table. I leave the meeting. I get in my car. I call my wife and she goes, Mark, you better stop at the drugstore on the way home. Stop at the MinuteClinic and see if you can get an antibiotic or something. You know, right. See what's wrong with you. So I walk in there and I'm like, I'm talking to the nurse practitioner and I'm telling him, you know, I don't think it's a sinus infection or anything like that. I think it's the flu. I was hoping to get some Tamiflu,
right.
You know, just something to like knock it out real quick so that I could actually look like a normal human being on TV the next day. Right. He looked me square in the eye. This is the end of October. And he's like, dude, nobody's had the flu yet. So what was it?
Right.
Right. So, I mean, I felt like I had a pretty nasty case of the flu, but the flu wasn't even going around at that time yet. So there's a lot of people, like you said, I mean, you've talked to people who mm-hmm. probably experienced symptoms, right?
I had a very similar experience to you, actually, towards the middle of January. And, you know, I only, you know, knock on wood, get sick maybe once every other year or so. And I remember sending Tony an email and being like, hey, you know, I'm not feeling too well. I don't want to infect anyone in the office. I'm going to work from home today. It was a Monday. And I basically lay down on my couch and I didn't get up for 2 days.
Yeah.
Not like the normal flu progression at all. It took several days after that to really get back to feeling normal. So, and I've had, you know, dozens of people tell me that story too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had a few people here within our office since this all kind of became mainstream that got their butts absolutely kicked by something for 24 to 48 hours.
Right.
And then they were asking if they could come back on day three. And it's like, nope, you're not
that's
allowed.
A negative.
No.
Yeah.
You know, digress there. But let's get back to some of the headline numbers. So global cases, confirmed cases, D, 2.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Global deaths, 192,000. So that's a mortality rate of 7%.
Right.
That's scary.
Absolutely.
That's scary.
Absolutely.
Okay. Compare that to the flu, which has a mortality rate of 0.1%.
Right.
That is incredibly scary. We've had 869,000 confirmed cases in the U.S., about 50,000 deaths. So that puts our mortality rate at 5.75%, which is still scary.
It's a huge number.
Right? But like we said, there's a lot of people who've probably felt symptoms, haven't taken the test, a lot of people who had no symptoms at all, a lot of people who had mild symptoms and just dealt with it.
Right.
Right? So the antibody tests, it really the purpose of them is to identify who's already had it, who may have immunity. But I think the most important takeaway is to reduce fear because that mortality rate is going to come down significantly.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's going to get people out of their houses again.
Yeah. So there's a lot of these reports recently that people have just briefly talked about, and they're not getting enough attention. So the first one, Stanford University.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good college?
Pretty good, I'd say.
I mean, that's probably top three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're medical school researchers. They offered antibody tests on Facebook in Santa Clara County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3,000 people took them up on the offer, and they determined that 50 to 85 times as many people as everyone thinks had the virus actually really did have the virus, right? 50 to 85 times more. So if that's the case, the true mortality rate is 0.12%.
Right.
And the flu 0.1%. Okay. Now, the critics of this study, they're saying, guys, you ran this on Facebook, and you probably had some adverse selection where the people who opted in for the study felt like crap in February or March, and they wanted to see if they had it.
Right.
Okay. I get that, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the sample size wasn't perfect. But nonetheless, there's a heck of a lot more people that have had it, which would bring down that mortality rate. So that's NorCal. Then you go down to SoCal, mm-hmm. LA County, USC. So USC did a study. They did not offer tests through Facebook where there was adverse selection. They hired a market research firm,
mm-hmm.
right? So a little more random,
right?
And they found that there were 28 to 55 times more cases than previously reported. That puts us at a, what's the mortality rate there?
About 0.2%.
Yep. If we use 30 times, it puts us at 0.2%. Mm-hmm. So twice as deadly as the flu, but we're still talking 0.2%. We're not talking 5.75.
Right.
Now New York. So New York, the state of New York comes out with their study, and this has been the epicenter, the hot zone.
Right.
A lot of that obviously probably boils down to public transportation in New York City.
Yep, proximity.
Right? Yeah,
yep.
I mean, you're really close to everyone. So makes sense. They estimate that 14% of their residents have had it. So they randomly tested 3,000 people at grocery stores.
Right.
At grocery stores and shopping centers. So that is definitely less adverse selection than Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, people that are going to grocery stores, are they feeling sick at all? Probably not.
No, probably not.
So, you know, whereas Facebook might draw in the people who were already feeling sick and they wanted to know if they had it, this is kind of the exact opposite. These are people who don't feel sick, right? Who are taking the test in a grocery store parking lot.
Right.
So how many people live in the state of New York? 19.4 million people?
19.4, yep.
Okay. So that means 2.7 million have had it.
Yeah.
Okay. There have been only 263,000 people confirmed to have had it, 15,000 deaths. So that is a 0.6% mortality rate. Still high.
Yep.
But not 5.75%, not 7%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Germany did one of these studies where they found that 14% of the population had it, mortality rate of 0.37%.
Right.
So, you know, the point I'm trying to make here, D, and we've talked about this offline and we both agree, is that while serious, this virus is very serious, it really crushes a certain amount of people. I don't know how it identifies, you know, who it's going to wreak havoc on as opposed to who is asymptomatic. I, you know, obviously over time, maybe they figure out that there's something within your genes or whatever it is that, that causes you to be more susceptible. But the fear from the media, from, you know, whether it's the newspapers or TV or whatever it is, the headline numbers, they're not accurate.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So I want the truth, and I think this is helping us to get closer to the truth.
Yep.
And as we get closer and closer to the truth, what that should hopefully do for us, and I'd love your opinion on this, but I think if we have the truth and individuals realize, all right, the real mortality rate is, let's just say, 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
The flu is 0.1 to 0.2%, depending on which strain of the flu in any given year. Do you think people would be more willing at that point in time to get on an airplane, to go to a ball game, to go to a restaurant than if this headline mortality rate is 5-7%?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is America, right? You know, it's, you're free to make your own choices. And, you know, I think that notion right there kind of, you know, that's a media battle, a Twitter battle that happens. You know, anytime someone says something like that, the other side says more people are going to die if people are thinking like that.
Yeah.
This is really the data that we need to be able to make wise choices.
Yeah.
Right. Because we started off this show. There's no doubt about it. When the economy is down, you know, suicides go up. Alcoholism goes up, domestic violence goes up, you know, you just name it. There's multiple health issues that are going to stem from unemployment and a bad economy. So as long as people feel safe to be able to get back out there, I think Germany was the first one that caught my eye, and then there's been several since.
Yeah.
That's really what we need, because we're a ways away from any type of, you know, vaccine or any type of, you know, awesome treatment options. This is really going to be the key.
Yes.
Arming people with data to make wise choices.
Exactly. Facts, not narrative.
Exactly.
Right? It was so funny. And then we'll wrap up here. I was on Twitter yesterday and I saw Biden post something. Okay. Now, as we all know, he can't post anything. He's got somebody writing this stuff for him.
Yeah.
But he posted something along the lines of like, I prefer science over science fiction, unlike President Trump.
Right.
I'm thinking like, how about those antibody tests, bro? I'm pretty sure that's science. That's hard data, right? Yep. So, look, this is what we need. We need to be positive. I think this is going to help people to feel more confident, feel more positive, and help to get us back to normal sooner than later. I think if we continue to administer these tests in the right manner so that there's fewer and fewer critics that are saying, well, you did it at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a problem with that, right?
Yep.
Or you did it on Facebook. Like, all right, let's just run a bunch of these tests so that the critics eventually have to just shut up, mm-hmm. right?
But and the tests need to be accurate, too.
Exactly.
That's I'm reading up on this. That is a big issue as well. Not only the actual COVID tests, but these antibody tests need to be correct and provide good, reliable data, too.
Exactly. So hopefully over the course of the next, I would hope over the next few weeks, we can start to, make sure these tests are accurate, get them administered, and start to reduce the fear that has just overtaken society.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap it up then. So thanks, everyone, for joining us today, as always, on today's episode of The Capitalist Investor. Like always, if you have questions, shoot us an email, info@swpconnect. That is info@swpconnect. We appreciate you listening, as always. Talk to you next time. Thanks a lot.